Hei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi poho, he parakuihi tēnei. You're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. It's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Party. We have Minister of Tourism and Hospitality, Louise Upston, on the line. Morena, Minister.
Morena.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. It's a fantastic Wellington day, and I'm hoping the day will improve as we go on.
Oh, it's dreary up here, so congrats.
We're talking all things the Michelin Guide, which has just been announced as heading to Aotearoa thanks to a $6.3 million plan. I'm interested as to your thoughts on why this is a huge priority at the moment.
Yeah, so one of the things from the international visitors levy is how at the moment do we grow demand for international visitors into New Zealand. We know that tourism is our second largest export. The more we export, the better it is for our economy. And that's, of course, what creates great job opportunities and better incomes for families. So it is a priority right now. And it's fair to say it's generated an absolute buzz, not just at home, but across the world. So I'm really confident it's going to attract more visitors to New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the hospitality industry has been doing it particularly hard recently. There's been almost a 20% increase in hospitality businesses closing. Is this the best way forward to support local businesses?
Well, there's a number of things we're doing. So we did a hospitality summit with them in November last year that had a range of ways we could work together to grow the hospitality sector. And the Michelin Guide was one of those suggestions. There's a number of other things we're progressing. And it's really interesting, although it's always really tragic when a business closes, we've actually seen more hospitality businesses open. So that's really encouraging. We've also launched recently the Hospitality Regulations Review, which is really looking at what are the costs that make it more difficult for businesses to operate or for a new hospitality open business to start. We're also looking at things like workforce, and we'll do another hospitality summit next year because we know how critical it is for our hospitality sector to do well.
The Michelin Guide so far, the plan is that they'll be coming to New Zealand cities, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch and Queenstown. There's been quite an outcry from regional businesses and chefs who are saying that these cities don't necessarily reflect the true sort of extent of New Zealand dining culture and that these smaller cities and smaller businesses have been neglected in this decision. What's your response to that?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd say. Firstly, in terms of attracting international visitors, when they decide to come to New Zealand, they won't just go into a few cities. So there will be a spillover effect of attracting the Michelin Guide to New Zealand. And what they have said is when they enter a new country, they want to kind of focus on a few key areas or cities where there are larger populations and therefore a greater concentration of restaurants for them to consider, and then that's the kind of starting place. So I'm optimistic over time that they will go into other places. What's really interesting is I've heard a number of people refer to the Michelin as the Olympics for the culinary scene, which I think is really exciting, and it also means there's a level of aspiration for those working in the sector, training in the sector, that they now have that wasn't there before, which is really exciting.
Do you feel as though the Michelin Guide and the system, like you say, the so-called Olympics of the culinary experience, do you think that can really capture how we dine as Kiwis and the sort of nature of the way that we eat and share food with one another?
Yeah, I think there's a range of things. I think our food story is an incredibly positive story, one that we don't celebrate enough. And we do have a unique twist on the way our food is prepared, presented, and served. So there's a balance of, you know, we absolutely have restaurants that are at the top of the top. We want to profile them and celebrate them. But one of the things people have commented on is we also have a more casual form of dining. And what I would like to see is that is represented in the Michelin Guide, because often people think, you know, fine dining, formal restaurants, and that it's stuffy, but that's not the that's not the New Zealand way. So I think we have something unique, and this is the opportunity to put it on the international radar of visitors who specifically focus on restaurants, dining, food story, local stories, local provenance of food, all of those sorts of things. So I think it's a really exciting opportunity for us to really claim our place in the world as amazing food producers and creators.
Finally, just any last words to those who are perhaps criticising the plan as focusing too deeply on overseas investment and tourism as a way to support New Zealand businesses that are really, really struggling?
Well, what we do know is, as I said, tourism is our second largest export. And we do know that what we have done over the last 8 or 9 months has really made a difference in terms of increasing the number of visitors that come to New Zealand. So for every person that comes off a boat or comes off a plane, lands in New Zealand, they're staying in accommodation, they're dining in cafes or restaurants or shopping in supermarkets, petrol stations, our local retailers, I see that as all about bringing more customers for New Zealand businesses. The more customers New Zealand businesses have, the greater their opportunity is to grow. When they grow, they take on more staff, they pay their staff more, and they're confident about making investment decisions. So this is an important part of our overall growth story. Tourism is a significant part, and Michelin is one of many steps we are taking to grow that tourism business.
Thank you very much, Minister Louise Upston, for joining us this morning on Breakfast.
Thank you.
This is Fun Life Breakup Suite with Shedding. You're a 95BFM Breakfast. And we have Minister of Mental Health, Matt Ducey, on the line with us. Morena, Minister.
Morena.
Morena, Matt. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Oh, that's excellent. No, thank you for joining us. So you've announced $61.6 million to strengthen the mental health crisis care. There's a rumour that this was due to you scrambling after the announcement of a report from the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. How do you respond to that?
Well, the government's plan for mental health is three key actions: faster access to support, more frontline workers, and better crisis response. And what we do know in New Zealand is quite often people call up in a time of crisis, and they don't get a health or a mental health response, they get a criminal justice response. So that's why in Budget 25, earlier this year, we announced $28 million to roll out mental health co-response teams. And the package we announced at the Mental Health Commission's conference was the next phase of that. So that's been in planning for a while. $61 million to roll out more frontline workers for our crisis assessment teams, have peer-led acute alternatives, which are an alternative to going to an inpatient ward. You go to a community-based provision that is staffed by peer-led, and more support in our emergency departments and crisis cafes. So, look, still a lot to be done, but a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, they have the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission chief executive has said it's a step in the right direction, but obviously they'd like a little bit more support. I mean, what are your plans going forwards to increase what's been done?
What I should also point out, I work very closely with the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. So their report on crisis response in New Zealand, just to point out, wasn't recent data. It was actually data from a few years ago under the last government. So what they produced in their report was not new for us as a government. That was the reality of the system we inherited. So what we want to do is make sure that when people are in a time of crisis and need support, they've got someone to call. So in Budget 2025, we bolstered more funding into our telehealth services within the dispatch centres of 111 emergency calls. Someone to respond, so that's about rolling out mental health co-response teams across the country, and also somewhere to go, and that's making sure people have got access to either inpatient facilities or the acute alternatives, which is more of a community-based setting for someone in distress.
Right. So in those acute cases, what are you doing to cut down wait times? Because I feel like that has been one of the major issues for mental health in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm in a privileged position where I travel around the country, and mostly people say in their time of need, they find the system quite fragmented and just takes too long to be seen. So that's why we set New Zealand's first mental health targets. Three of them are around access: 1 week for primary mental health and addiction support, 3 week for specialist mental health and addiction support. We're just about to release the latest data for that in the next couple of weeks, but the last quarter's data showed that we're hitting the targets at over 80%. But I'm always caveating that, though, by saying I'm not interested in the national average, because when you go down into the 20 health districts, there's real variability. It's that postcode lottery issue. And not only that, I've now got the data for those targets to go into urban and rural population groups, Māori, Pacifica, Asian, and youth. And as you'd expect, when you go into some of the more deprived areas and look at rural, Māori, and young people, their benchmarking against those targets drops off significantly. So I'll spend $2.8 billion this year in the mental health ring fence. My expectation is to go into those areas that are not delivering at the target level to invest in more services so they do.
Minister, do you feel as though policies introduced by the rest of the coalition government align with these priorities? Because, of course, we've had the Healthy Futures Pie Order Amendment Bill, which removes the obligation to take mental health at the same level of priority as physical health. And then a lot of people perhaps would, when you talk about the importance of supporting those further at risk in terms of mental health, such as Māori, a lot of people might point to policies that have perhaps been critiqued as anti-treaty or undermining the principles of the treaty.
Yeah, I mean, my advice there is for people, I know your listeners are pretty smart, so scratch the surface and do your own work. So, you know, when you point out the issue around the changes in the Pie Order legislation, I just point to you that under the last government, they refused to have a specific mental health and wellbeing strategy as part of the Pie Order legislation. The first thing we did coming into government was legislated for Pie Order to have a specific mental health strategy, and of course having New Zealand's first mental health minister as well. But look, you know, let's be clear, giving someone a job title or just having a strategy that doesn't that sits on the shelf is not necessarily going to make a difference. So clearly it's how we deliver results on the ground, and I'd just put to you that having New Zealand's first mental health targets, that holds me and the government accountable. There can be nothing more accountable than that.
That's just about all we've got time for, but thank you very much, Minister Matt Ducey, for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you
Brilliant.
So much.
Thanks for your time.
Have a good day. One.